Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Center Point. Hope y'all are able to stay dry so far this evening and will on the way home. Our prayer devotional this morning as we prepare for our prayer time is from Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. I've entitled this The Priority of Prayer. We learn many things, I believe, from this short passage of Scripture, one of them having to do with the installation, if you will, of the first deacons in the church's history. But what I want to focus on this evening from this passage is the priority of prayer. In the word priority, you see the root word prior, indicating first among many important things. I'm reminded of Jesus' words to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all other things will be added unto you. Seek first. And that's the idea of prayer here. There are many, many important things in the life of a church, but none more foundational, none more basic, none more prior than the importance of prayer. So let's look at this brief passage of Scripture from Acts chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading in verse 1. Now, in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. We see in the early chapters of Acts a real battle that the church is fighting. And every time there is an increase in numbers, an increase in vitality in the church, it seems like Satan throws another attack towards the apostles. And so from time to time, they have to regroup prayerfully and decide how they will move forward. And we see that happening here. At this point in Acts, persecution has already started, and corruption with the Ananias and Sapphira episode have come the church's way. Neither one of these ploys of Satan worked in derailing the church from its mission, and so it seems as if Satan now tries to distract the church from what should be its number one priority, its number one focus. The church then, just as the church now, has limited resources. Only God has unlimited resources. So the church is restricted both in time and energy and efforts. So we must be wise and discerning about the ways in which we expend energy and time and resources. That's true on a personal level, too, isn't it? We only have so much time. We only have so much energy. We only have so many resources. We have to be wise in how we expend those. And since our resources are limited, and I think Eric Alexander said this so well, if we don't set and abide by set priorities, we don't keep the main thing, then we become slaves to whatever pressures are the loudest or the most persuasive at the time. And the good things get crowded out. The very best things get crowded out, sometimes by good things. So what has happened here is that there was complaining in the church. Imagine that. The Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Now, who were the Hellenists and who were the Hebrews? Well, they were both Jewish groups, but the Hellenists were greatly influenced by Greek culture. They were predominantly Greek-speaking people, even though they were Jewish ethnically. The Hebrews are Jews who are more traditionally minded, who are more resistant to Greek influence. And there seems to be maybe a perception problem, maybe an actual problem. But in any event, it's an issue in the church. It seemed that the widows were being neglected. And so the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. So this was kind of the first general synod of the church. They pulled together everyone to weigh in on this problem and to come up with a solution. So the complaint involved either an actual problem or a perceived problem. How did the apostles solve this problem? Well, they wisely chose to delegate the administration of the food distribution rather than trying to do it themselves. Now, y'all know, as I do, that sometimes the best way to get a job done is to do it yourself. It sometimes takes more time to instruct someone else and train someone else to do it than it would to just go ahead and do it. But that's not the case here. The apostles wisely recognized that not only did they have limited resources and time, but they had also been called to something very specific in the life of the church. So this was a matter of calling as it was a matter of limitation. They chose to delegate this task of administrating the tables and funding that whole project to men who were capable and able to do it. So they wisely chose to delegate that. Now, it would be easy to think that the apostles did not consider this administration of the tables very important, and so they delegated it. But quite the contrary, it's extremely important, and we see that in the amount of time and effort and the seriousness with which the church took this problem and the solution to it. So they put quite a bit of prayerful consideration into it. But the apostles wisely recognized administrating the tables, as important as that was not what they were personally called to do. And had they taken the time to do that, administrate the tables themselves and engage in that, that would have taken valuable time and effort away from prayer and from ministry of the word. And what happens then? Well, if prayer and ministry of the word aren't taking place, then the entire ministry is going to suffer. The ministry of the word is informed by prayer. Prayer informs the ministry of the word. And so without that, you don't have anything. So the apostles recognize they're called to preach the word and they're called to pray. So they resolved to commit themselves to this very basic, primary, foundational work in the life of the church, this prayer and preaching. So they're going to reserve their very best energies and the lion's share of their time, not in administration, but in prayer, in preaching the word. And they're going to delegate the other task to very able men who are being called to do that, to focus on that. Now, why is it so important that they focused on prayer? Well, there are many tasks to do in the church, but only God can take a heart that is dead in transgressions and sins and bring it to life. Only God can do that. We can knock ourselves out and try as hard as we can to do ministry according to our own strengths and capabilities. At the end of the day, we cannot raise the dead spiritually. Only God can prick the human conscience and wake it up to its plight and show it, the human conscience, its need for a Redeemer, for Christ. Only God can transform lives. This is something that is only done in divine strength. So if God doesn't do those things, all of our ministry efforts will be in vain. Everything we do, and we can wear ourselves out doing it, will amount to nothing at the end of the day unless God moves by His Holy Spirit to change hearts and to change lives. So if we are completely dependent upon God to do what only He can do in Christian ministry, we had better be appealing to Him to do what we cannot. And that is my job as a Christian minister. I need to be involved and dedicated to the task of Christian ministry, something that can only successfully be accomplished in divine strength. And so I had better be praying as a matter of top priority, as a matter of basic foundational priority, because unless the Lord moves, it's all in vain. So we often have not in the life of the church because we ask not. So we should ask the Lord to do what we cannot. Again, administration was very important. That's why the apostles involved the entire church in choosing these seven men to take this task. These men must be meeting certain criteria. They said that the men must be among you. They must be of good reputation. They must be full of the Spirit. They couldn't just give these jobs to anyone. These men needed to be spiritually strong and wise. It's interesting that all of these men also have Greek names, including the one who has been converted to Judaism and then Christianity in verse 5. So the church chose these men. The entire church was involved in choosing these men from among them, recognizing the men who stood out in those particular categories. And then the apostles commissioned those men by laying their hands on them and praying for them. Now, what happened as a result of this resolve, this resolution to devote themselves to what they had been called to do in praying and in teaching the word? Well, not only were the people pleased, the Hellenist widows and the Hebraic widows, but much more importantly, it seems that God was very, very pleased at what happened here. How do we know that? Well, because in verse 7, we're told that the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. And so the church had been growing pretty rapidly to this point, but it seems like that accelerated after this key decision by the apostles to delegate to the first deacons, if you will, to carry out this administration so that they could not be distracted from their primary task, their ultimate priority, their very basic calling to focus on prayer and to focus on ministry of the word. So if we want our church to be apostolic in the very best sense, in other words, to follow apostolic teaching in the scriptures, the early church's priority needs to be ours as well. Nothing can ever take the place of ministry of the word and prayer. And every teaching church needs as its foundation people who are devoted to praying for the effectiveness and the effectual power of the Holy Spirit to show up and to take the word and to drive it home to the hearts of God's people and to make the spiritually dead alive. And so may we never neglect our top priority in Christian ministry and in church life, to be devoted to the ministry of the word and to prayer. There simply is no substitute for those priorities in the life of the church. So, that in mind, let's transition to a time of prayer together. We rejoice in the addition to our pastoral staff, Reverend Sean Henderson. I think I see several more sheets over on the table if you don't have one. There's a section on the back of our prayer sheets, the picture of Sean and his beautiful family. We are thrilled to have Sean among us, and we asked Sean, how can we best pray for you? And he gave us a list of four prayer points at the top of the page. So there's the obvious things that you would expect Sean to need on his transition from California to South Carolina, but then perhaps some other less obvious things. So let's spend some time praying for missions and for the advance of missions through the channels of First Pres. And let's give God thanks for bringing Sean and his family to us. And let's pray for his ministry going forward. Let's pray together. And let's do this out loud, if y'all don't mind, at the beginning here, as we pray for missions and for Sean specifically.